Welcome to the program Study in the Chapel. God's Word is supreme at Chapel Ministries. We consider it absolutely essential to a proper relationship with God. We study it, we love it, we rely on it every minute of every day. The following program is an edited recording of the regular Bible studies we hold, and we decided to share these with you in the hope that you too will be able to find inspiration, encouragement, and ultimately salvation through discovering Christ in Scripture. Our intention is to travel all the way through the Bible. It will be a challenging journey, but one that will undoubtedly bring you to a decision. Through this study, you will be faced with either believing or rejecting what God has said to us. It is our intention to provide you with enough knowledge to make an informed decision about God and His Word. We strongly encourage you to listen intently and diligently, because though at the moment you may not realize it, these things are truly a matter of life and death. In fact, these are matters of eternal life and eternal death. Never treat what God has said lightly. There is truly nothing more important to you. Now, join us as we seek God's will through His inspired Word.
We are continuing in the letter to the Ephesians. This Bible study has been very, very useful to all of us. We're learning that God has a plan, that God has a very important plan for all of the people that He's called out. He's called us out from among those He's not called out. We are blessed in that we can be a part of the church, and now God wants that church built up to do His will on this earth. His will is that we bring others in, that we continue to grow the church right up until the day that Jesus comes back and pulls us out, and that will be a great day. We're in the sixth chapter of Ephesians. We've really just gotten started, so really we're only in the first one or two verses. No need to read too far because we haven't gotten very far. So here we go. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Of course, Paul is referring to what we now call the fifth commandment. We read it last week. We'll read it again. The fifth commandment is found in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's a very word-for-word quotation. Paul sort of expands it because, remember, the Ten Commandments are very much geared toward the people and the land. So Paul expands the application of that commandment to all of us. Most of those people that he was speaking to were Gentiles, part of the church, a little bit different from the people of Israel. So he says it a little bit differently. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy mother and father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the fourth verse of the sixth chapter. We won't be getting there for a couple of weeks. We will be parked here for at least the next 2 weeks. Now, let me repeat, and this is why we're going to be parked here. I'm sure at some point you're going to say, this is tedious. Can we please move on? Let me tell you something. There is no more blatant, obvious proof of the devil's influence in this world than the destruction of the human family. That's why we're sitting here. The human family has been completely corrupted, and it is directly the result of the devil's influence. The family is important to God. How we react with those we are physically related to has a big bearing on the type of people we become. It has a big bearing on how we present ourselves to the world. Now, to the current world, to the current society, family is becoming less and less important. We're taking away the significance of what it means to be a parent. In fact, we're twisting it. We're taking away the significance of what it means to be a husband, a father, a wife, a mother, a child. In fact, we're twisting it. We're twisting all of it. We're trying to tell everyone that those things don't matter anymore, if they ever did, that somehow the structure, the makeup of the physical family is just something left over from caveman days that has no relevance to us up-to-date, sophisticated, evolved, brilliant, modern humans. Well, that's not how God sees things. Don't let anyone tell you those things. That's not true. The importance of the family, in God's opinion, starts from the very beginning. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So let's start looking at a few Greek words. We said last time that the word for children means young people, but with the added contextual meaning of young people under the supervision of parents. What about this word obey? We talked a little bit about it already, so let's dive in a little deeper. You know, the word obey has really gotten a bad rap in the past, perhaps the last couple of centuries. And this is especially true in the so-called Western world, where we seem to use the word liberty so loosely. Nowadays, when we hear the word obey, we almost always assume that it carries some level of exploitation and even abuse. We don't like the word obey, and we especially don't like to use it with our kids. It seems so oppressive, so Victorian to use such language. I mean, kids are nothing but little angels that we must coddle and smother with kisses. Besides, psychologists keep telling us that they're just too delicate for such harsh treatment. So now, when something needs to get done in the family, tell me if you've not seen this yourself. Parents will consult their children before making decisions. They allow the younger, less experienced, less educated, and therefore unprepared members of the household to have an equal say when it comes to matters that affect the entire group. Say you're sitting on the bus, the city bus, waiting to take off from the station. Up comes an 11-year-old and sits down in the driver's seat. Hey, what are you doing? What are you sitting in that seat for? Don't worry. I talked to the boss. The boss and I agree that I can drive this bus, so you all sit back. Everything's going to be fine. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be able to drive this bus to the next stop. You'd get off immediately. Well, what difference is it in today's world when we're letting our children make family decisions, things that have long-lasting effects, not only on the children, but the family as a whole? It has been my experience that many parents rarely undertake any action that they feel their children may disagree with. You need some proof? Just look at the typical dinner table. Fat, sugar, dairy, garbage, nothing but junk food. The things that they'll eat, the things that they'll agree to eat. The goal is not nourishment, it's appeasement. And as a society, we're paying the price for that. This whole way of thinking has turned the authority of individual family members completely upside down. What are you going to do? I mean, the kids, they're going to kick and scream. You're going to let them kick and scream in the middle of the store? Yes. In fact, it's fashionable now, among especially teenagers, to reject all parental decisions. Let's call them suggestions, because that's really what they are anymore. It used to be the word no was mainly heard from the 2-year-olds. Now the 16-year-olds have laid claim to that word. And listen, I know this isn't new, but what is new is the attitude that society has now concerning such behavior. We not only accept that our children are rebellious, but we're actually encouraging it. We say it's important for our children to spread their wings and fly, no matter what damage it causes them and everyone else. It's common for us to see that the children have more influence on the day-to-day activities of the family than the parents. When you hear parents complaining, what are they complaining about? Oh, I'm so busy because I have to take Johnny to football. Then I have to take Mary over to ballet. And then Mary has to go to volleyball after that. And then we have the cookie sale. And then we have to wrap it all up. And then I have to do their homework for them later on because they don't want to do it. I'm not making any of that up. If you've not had children for a while in your household, that is exactly the way it goes. The children rule the schedule of the home. It used to be Dad's way or the highway. Now it's Brad's way or the highway. Kids rule and parents drool. If the kids don't agree with something the parents want to do, well, they're allowed to oppose it, disregard the parents' wishes, and outright refuse to obey if they want to. That's how things are done now. Like so many things that we do in our modern world, this is in no way God's standard. In fact, in his word, in his way of doing things, listen to me, disobedience to one's parents is counted among the most heinous of sins. This clearly, what I'm about to share with you, comes from God's word clearly. Tell me if you've ever heard a sermon based on this, Romans chapter 1. These are transgressions. These are sins commonly found among people who rebel against God. Listen to this, starting at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. So this is what a reprobate mind sounds like. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. Remember, this is what people who have a reprobate, rebellious mind do, according to Paul. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now listen to verse 32. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Not only do these things happen, but there are people sitting back smiling, thinking, go ahead, I like to see you do those sorts of things. The sin of being disobedient to one's parents appears on that list. The same list as fornication, murder, haters of God, being unmerciful. The sin of being disobedient to one's parents is among, now I'm quoting Romans 1 again, such things which are worthy of death. Paul could not have meant that. He couldn't have meant that. Worthy of death, being disobedient to your parent is worthy of death, just like murder is and hateful and fornication. You're saying someone who's disobedient to their parents deserves the same punishment? I'm not saying that. God's saying that. Now, Paul must have just been in a bad mood. All right? Here's a prophecy from Paul. This is what Paul was telling his congregations the future was going to look like. Now, tell me if you don't think that perhaps we may be in our time actually living this prophecy. 2 Timothy 3:1. This know also that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. If you have your Bible open, you know what's next. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That's the second time we've seen that. That actually means the type of parent who actually has no love for their own children. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent. That just means without self-control, which makes sense. Fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Once again, that's some list. And not obeying one's parents is on there. Disobedience to parents is listed among some very, very nasty character flaws. This is not the kind of company you want to keep. And right before the sin of disobedient to parents, Paul lists blasphemers. Not too long after that, he refers to who are unholy without natural affection, people who are not capable of feeling the inherent care and concern for our own flesh and blood. You know, we are disgusted by the parents who abandoned their children. We are disgusted by the parents, rightfully so, who use their children, abuse their children. But we're not disgusted by the children who mouth off to their parents for some reason. Paul says, same list. They deserve the same list. They deserve the same disgust. False accusers, which is one of the worst forms of lying, that's on that list. And even despisers of those that are good. If you're disobedient to your parents, or your children are disobedient to you, then they're no better than those that live their lives hating the ones in this world who are trying to make a difference. Listen, I know a lot of you might find this like hyperbole. You might find this disobeying parents thing is just a minor offense, a sort of rite of passage. Not really wrong at all, but rather a sophisticated, stylish thing to do. Ignore the old man. He's just a fool. Well, that may be the way we think now, but listen to this quote from Kent's commentary on American law written a couple hundred years ago. Quote, disobedience to parents was punished by death in the Jewish law. And with the Hindus, it is attended with the loss of the child's inheritance. The ancient Greeks considered the neglect of it to be extremely impious and attended with the most certain effects of divine vengeance. The Greeks were saying, if you were disobedient to your parents, the gods were going to get you. That's what that means. Solon ordered all persons who refused to make due provision for their parents to be punished with infamy. I'm quoting again. And the same penalty was incurred for personal violence toward them, unquote. In all societies before our own, failing to respect and obey one's parents was as miserable an act as one could commit. And yet today, it makes us giggle. We find it funny. It's entertainment for us. Certainly not for the parent, it isn't. But we sit back and watch it. Well, John, I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm in my 50s. I don't have any kids. I said this last time. I don't know if I said it on the recording or not, but These are things you have influence on people's lives. You have influence on your own kids who are raising kids. You have influence on your grandchildren. Your grandchildren comes up, comes in the room, slaps them, their mother, and that happens a lot. You think I'm kidding. Kids slap their parents all of the time now. It's your job as a Christian to correct that behavior, as a Christian who has influence on that child. I'm not saying go into the mall and start yelling at people whose kids are being bad. I'm saying where you have the influence. Our families have become, and I'll say it again, completely corrupted. We have to stand up against what the world is trying to do to our families. Now let's get to the Greek word. I know I promised that several minutes ago, but you guys know me by now. I think you're going to like this. Our word obey, found in most English language Bibles, is translating the Greek verb hupakuo. It's made up of two other Greek words. It's a compound Greek word, hupo, which means under, and akouo, which means listen. Putting it together, it translates to listen under. And like so many other words, it doesn't make any sense when defined literally, but it does give the impression when you hear it in the Greek of an inferior listening to and heeding the voice of a superior. Now, I know we hate those words too. We hate the word superior and we hate the word inferior. Actually, we love the word superior. We think everybody's superior, but no, but don't use the word inferior. It hurts people's feelings. That's the feeling. But how can everybody be superior? The people that look down on the word inferior and tell you not to use it, but use the word superior, you have to be superior to something. It makes no sense. Just another example of the upside downness of the thinking of our modern society. But the Bible, on the other hand, has no problem talking about those who are inferior, nor those who are regarded as superior. Those things in biblical thinking, and should be in our thinking too, are necessary for good order. In the statement from chapter 6, the parents are the superiors. God, through the pen of Paul, is telling children, the inferiors, to hearken to the voice of the superiors, which are their parents. Now, Albert Barnes shares this bit of wisdom in his commentary on this command, children, obey your parents. This is long, but this is going to be worth it. Albert Barnes says, quote, "This is the first great duty which God has enjoined on children. It is to do what their parents command them to do." We don't use the word command, do we? "The God of nature indicates that this is duty, for he has impressed it on the minds of all in every age. And the author of Revelation confirms it." In other words, this is a natural way to think. God made us this way, and he wrote it down in his book. That's how important it is. It's natural to us to obey our parents, and God is commanding it. That's the point he's making. "It is particularly important," back to quoting Barnes, "it is particularly important, number one, because the good order of a family and hence of the community depends on it. No community or family being prosperous where there is not due subordination in the household. Number two," listen to this, "because the welfare of the child depends on it. We think we're doing our kids a favor by letting them run wild, doing what they want, making their own decisions, eating what they want, going where they want. That's not truth. We must keep them in obedience for their sake." Barnes again, "it being of the highest importance that a child should be early taught obedience to law, as no one can be prosperous or happy who is not thus obedient. Number three, because the child is not competent as yet to reason on what is right or qualified to direct himself. And while that is the case, he must be subject to the will of some other person. Number four, because the parent, by his age and experience, is to be presumed to be qualified to direct and guide a child. What if the parent isn't? Then the parent loves the child enough to find the child help along those lines, a grandparent, aunts and uncles, someone who can help them raise that child. God would not have given you that child if he didn't think there was a way that you could raise them to be a Christian. Believe that. Because the parent, by his age and experience, is to be presumed to be qualified to direct and guide a child. Listen to this. The love which God has implanted in the heart of a parent for a child secures, in general, the administration of this domestic government in such a way as not to injure the child. This is the answer to those that say, well, obeying means they're going to be exploited. The love in our hearts for our children will ensure that we won't injure our children. Back to Barnes. A father will not, unless under strong passion or the excitement of intoxication, abuse his authority. Let me tell you something, this is for Christian homes. He loves the child too much. He desires his welfare. And the placing of the child under the authority of the parent is about the same thing in regard to the welfare of the child as it would be to endow the child at once with all the wisdom and experience of the parent himself. Number five, and with this, we wrap it up for tonight. It is important because the family government, listen to this. It is important because the family government is designed to be an imitation of the government of God. What do we call God? Our Father. What does he call us? His children. The government of God is what a perfect family government would be. And to accustom a child to be obedient to a parent is designed to be one method of leading him to be obedient to God. No child that is disobedient to a parent will be obedient to God. And that child that is most obedient to a father and mother will be most likely to become a Christian and an heir of heaven. And it may be observed in general that no disobedient child is virtuous, prosperous, or happy. Everyone foresees the ruin of such a child, and most of the cases of crime that lead to the penitentiary or the gallows commence by disobedience to the parents. Far more complete of an explanation than I could ever come with, for sure. And I think a perfect place to stop for tonight. Now, we're not done with this. We may take another couple of weeks because it is so important. This is where it begins, in the home. We make good Christians when we follow God's rules. We'll pick it up there next time.
We hope this study has blessed you. God's word is a great treasure, and it's our belief that a thorough, purposeful study of it will bring all of God's children to an understanding of his eternal plan of redemption. It is our prayer that this will be so for all of our listeners. Please join us again soon. New content is being added all the time, so make sure you check back often. For more information on Chapel Ministries, including our YouTube channel and podcasts, please visit www.chapelontheweb.com. And if God has laid it upon your heart to share materially with us, we encourage you to follow the links to our secure giving page. Please note, Chapel Ministries is not an IRS-registered nonprofit organization, and your donations to this program are not tax-deductible. It's our hope that you do not rely on taxing authorities to decide for you who is worthy of your generosity.